Well, we are so excited that you are here today. We are starting a new sermon series today, The Crown and the Cross. Just real quick before we get started, those of you that came out yesterday to clean the church inside and outside, just thank you so much. It was amazing to see the response and the people that came, and I learned two valuable lessons yesterday. Even though I got lumped in with not working, I don't know how that worked out, but somehow I got lumped into that group. You know, pastor's main job is to fellowship, okay? That is what a pastor is supposed to do, all right? Maybe I was fellowshipping too long in one spot. That's what it was. But I learned two important lessons yesterday. The first lesson is this: cleaning day at the church is not about cleaning, okay? I mean, we did a great job. We were cleaning. Cleaning day at the church is about fellowship. That's what it's about. It's about spending time together, coming together around a common goal, and working together. That's what cleaning day is all about. And the second thing that I learned was the Holmeses, they just work. Yeah. I'm starting to figure that out real quick. Like, we were like, all right, lunch is coming, and I'm like getting everyone together, and then I look out the window, and Darren is still on the tractor, just working. I'm like, I had to go get you. Like, come on, we're eating lunch at this point, and the tractor's still running. I'm like, it's time to eat. So the Holmeses work. Maybe they do all the work for us because we were just sitting around. Maybe that's what it was. I do have a couple announcements for you. Oh, the third thing I learned. Third thing. If you guys don't feel like you're like getting connected anywhere, or you feel like you're just kind of like showing up on Sundays and that's it, just jump in and do something. Whatever it is, just jump in and do it. That's where you make connections and meet people, is when you come to like a church cleaning day and hang out with people and clean the church and talk and hang out. So if you're feeling like you need to make some more connections, jump in and do something. Speaking of that, we have food boxes on Saturday, April 19th from 9 to noon or until they're gone. The second announcement is this. Women's group, here's a chance to jump into something. Women's group is hosting a game night on Friday, April 25th at 6 p.m. at the church. You should bring a game, bring a snack, and bring a friend. That's the only requirements that you have. And don't bring your husband, okay? That's the last requirement. Leslie didn't write that, but I'm going to add that one. Don't bring your husband, okay? It's a women's group night. So, there we go. Let's jump into this. We are going to be in Luke today, Luke 22, verse 14 through 20. Let us read God's word together. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this time we get to share together this morning. And Lord, I just pray now that your spirit would be upon us as we study your word and we dive into your word. And Lord, I pray that anything that I would mess up, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people. That the only thing that we would hear today is your word and your spirit and your truth, Lord. Let it be that above everything else. as we dive into your word and to learn about Jesus, the one who came to save us all. Lord, let that be the focus. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So I got to tell you about an awkward moment. Is that okay? So the first time that I was here was in November of last year. November of last year. Now, most of you probably didn't know, like, who I was at that point. But we had shown up, and no one really knew who we were, but we were just kind of hanging out, checking the place out. And then they were saying, there's this chili cook-off after church. Do you want to come? And so my wife and I were like, man, we didn't bring anything. Like, we're just going to show up to this chili cook-off and just eat all their food. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do when you go to a chili cook-off. You're supposed to bring something. And everyone kept saying, oh, no, it'll be all right. Just show up, just come hang out. And that's what we did. We came to the chili cook-off, and I just ate chili. Like, I didn't bring anything. I didn't provide anything for the cook-off except for, I did vote for the chili. So I did provide a little bit there. But usually when you come to like a church potluck or something like that, you usually bring something. Have you ever been in that moment where you're like, you forget to bring something to a party or whatever it is, and you're like, oh man, we have to stop and get like a bag of chips or something. Like, this is the best we can do. And then you're like that person that's walking in with a bag of chips, like, hey, everybody, home-cooked meal? All right, here's my Lay's. The reason I bring this up is because we think that we have to bring something to the party, which if you're coming to a church cookout or potluck, bring something, okay? But when Jesus invites us to the table, what does he want us to bring? Absolutely nothing. He wants us to bring nothing but ourselves. That's the only requirement for Jesus' party. And so we're reading tonight or today about this meal that they're having together. The disciples are coming together and they're having this meal. And Jesus is requiring that they bring nothing because he's taking care of all the details. And it's the same for us. As Jesus is calling us to the table saying, just bring yourselves. So let's jump into it. Luke 22, 15 through 16 says this. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And so our first point today is this. There's a place for you with Jesus. There's a place for you with Jesus. Now, hopefully I don't spend all of our time in these two verses, but I feel like there's a lot going on in these two verses. Like, seriously, a lot. Because the very first part says this, Jesus said. So we already know that this is coming from Jesus, and that is pretty important. But I like this next part. I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you. And so Jesus is eager to have this meal. And if you look at the original language there, I think the NLT doesn't do a great job here of translating what Jesus is trying to say, because very eager to me doesn't give this like importance to it. You know, it's like not this oomph to it. But if you look at the original language, it's more of like a deep desire. That Jesus deeply desires, he longs for you to eat this meal with him. Now, when we say it like that, maybe you'll agree, that sounds a little more important than very eagerly wanting to eat with you. And that's the truth is that Jesus deeply longs to sit with you and eat the meal. Now there's several layers working at this meal. As Jesus deeply longs to be with you to eat this meal, but he's longing to be with his disciples because he knows what's coming after this meal. He knows that this is the last time they will sit together as this group, because after this meal, everything is about to change. And so Jesus, in the face of the cross, knowing exactly what's to come in the days ahead, he was deeply longing to sit with the disciples. Even looking ahead at the cross, knowing what was coming, Jesus was longing for this moment that had been prepared his entire life. Every moment of Jesus' life has led up to this point. And so now he's at this place where he's longing to be with his friends, longing to hang out with them, to have this Passover meal, knowing that the cross is coming. And the significance of the Passover here, and next month we're going to dive really deep into the Passover meal. So I'm not going to get too deep into it today, but the Passover meal was really important for the Jewish people. This signified one of the greatest movements in the people, that they were led out of Egypt by God. And so on the night that they were led out, they put the lamb's blood on the post so that the angel of death would pass by them, and they were led out into the wilderness. So this is what this meal is celebrating. And so Jesus specifically chose this night so that he would deeply long for this moment with his friends, knowing the cross was coming, that the Passover lamb and the Passover meal would change. Because after this night with his friends, the Passover meal was never going to be the same again. Jesus was giving it a whole new meaning. Because if you were a follower of Christ, you no longer celebrated this Passover meal, you started to follow Jesus. And this is actually the first communion that's happening in the upper room. And so we get an inside witness of what the first communion was like. And our Savior and our Creator was longing for this moment. His life had led up to this moment. So that one of the biggest things in the Jewish culture, he was taking it and flipping it completely around. I hope we understand the weight of this moment where Jesus is sitting in the upper room with his friends. This was completely redefining everything the Jewish people knew about their lives. They had been celebrating the Passover for millennia. Since the time of Moses, this is what they've been celebrating. And Jesus comes to this party and says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to completely change it. And we have to understand that this party with his friends was a scandalous dinner party. Jesus says, you don't have to bring anything to the party. Just bring yourselves. And I had been waiting for this moment to spend it with his disciples. But do we remember who was there? The betrayer was there. The devil had already come to Judas, and he was making his plans. Thomas was there. He was the doubter. He didn't believe that Jesus was really who he said he was. The denier was there, Peter. Jesus would predict that he would deny three times and it would come true. All the disciples would desert and go away and spread out. This is who he deeply desired to spend his last moments with, right? Those people. His life had led up to this point where he says, I want to eat dinner with you, the doubter, the denier. All of you are going to fall away and disown me, and I want to eat with you. I want to eat with you, and I want to completely change the Passover. I want to redefine it so that this moment will never be forgotten. And that's exactly what he did. He completely changed for the Jewish people, for followers of Christ, what the Passover meal meant, because now we celebrate it as communion. Go a little bit further. Luke 22:19-20 says this. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Our next point is this. Love took on flesh, and it was broken. Love took on flesh, and it was broken. So one of the main things for the Passover meal was the lamb. This is a really important part, because they would take the blood of the lamb, and they would put it on the doorpost. And that's how the angel of death knew to pass over their house. But it just couldn't be just any lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a spotless lamb. It could be without a blemish. Those are the only lambs that were used for the Passover meal. And so again, Jesus is redefining what Passover is. And church, I hope we understand that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life without blemish that made him the perfect lamb to be slain. That the blood of this lamb would no longer need to have any other lamb slaughtered. For the amount of time that they had been celebrating the Passover, who knows how many lambs had died and their blood was spilled. Now, this was different than a sin offering. This was the perfect spotless blood of the lamb. And Jesus would completely change that and say, there are no other lambs that are needed. I am perfect. I am spotless. I am blameless. My blood is perfect. You will never need another sacrifice, because I'm making a new covenant with you. And it's through my blood. The old covenant was fulfilled when Jesus came and died on the cross. And so at this Passover meal, the first communion, Jesus, looking ahead to the cross, is saying, I'm making a new covenant with you with my blood. Everything that you heard by the prophet Jeremiah, I am fulfilling today. Jeremiah 31:31. Spend some time this week. Read through it. When Jesus says that I am fulfilling, making this new covenant, that's what he's talking about. The old is going away and the new is coming. And the new is fulfilled on the cross. Let's jump back to verse 19. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Our next point is, the table calls us back to Jesus. The Jewish people understood Passover as this yearly rhythm. So there was this yearly rhythm where they would get together and they would celebrate the Passover. They would celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was all together, and they had this rhythm where they would celebrate this year after year after year. And so there's this rhythm to it. And so when Jesus comes and completely changes the Passover to communion, he's instilling this rhythm to us as well. And we understand it today because we do communion in church. But why do we have certain rhythms in life? So that we can remember. The Passover meal was designed that we would remember what God did for the Israelites out of Egypt. The communion meal is to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what he's creating here. See, communion leads us to reflection. When we're immersed in the elements of the bread and the juice, we're led to remembrance of what Christ did on the cross for us. One of the forerunners of the Wesleyan faith is John Wesley. He's an 18th century pastor and theologian. And so he has the of grace, the way, three main ones. The first one is Scripture. This is the main way that God shows his grace to us, is through Scripture. Then there's prayer. So when you're in line with God and in communication with him, that's a means of grace. And interesting that Wesley puts communion right up on level with all of those. He says that the partaking of the table, to see the grace of God, is the same as praying and Scripture. That we can meet God in a powerful way at the table. But listen, church, it's not because we remember what God did for us. We should, during communion, remember. But that's not how we meet the grace at the table. We meet the grace at the table when we surrender at the table. That's the important part. Not that we remember what God did, that we surrender our lives at the table to say, God, I am all yours. I am not worthy to be at your table. Yet you long to eat with me. There's not a thing we can do in this world that earns us a seat at the table. You can't try hard enough. You can't pray long enough. You can't read this book front and back, sideways and in between. It does not matter. We do not deserve a seat at the table. There is nothing we have done that earns that. And Jesus knew that. Yet he still deeply longed to sit with his disciples, knowing exactly what they were going to do to him. And he showed them grace. And so when we come to the table of surrender and we lay our lives down, and we recognize that we are not worthy to even come close to the table, yet Jesus invites us to the table freely. He says, no matter where you've been, what you're doing, what you've done, you're still invited to my table. There's nothing you could do that I could do that would get us kicked out of the table. The betrayal of Jesus seems like a pretty big thing. Judas was at the table. To be the one that doubts that Jesus is who he says he is a pretty big deal. Thomas was at the table. To deny Jesus as Lord is a pretty big deal. yet Peter was at the table. Church, Jesus is inviting us to the table, and we've done nothing to earn it. And the really cool thing is that God is still meeting us at the table, just like he met the disciples. Just like he met the disciples, God is meeting us at the table as well. And so today we're going to have that moment and that opportunity where we're going to come to the table. We're going to ask that Jesus would meet us at the table. But church, I want to remind us that even though we don't do anything to deserve a seat at the table, we should examine our hearts before we come to the table. That's what Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians, is that we should examine our hearts before we come to the table. That's why it's not just a table of remembrance. It is a table of sacrifice. So I want to ask you this question, and then I'm going to invite the worship team to go ahead and come on up. When you come to the table, are you just remembering or are you surrendering? When you come to the table, are you just remembering or are you surrendering? It's really easy to just remember. Oh, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, that's good. Died for our sins. It's so easy to say. It's harder to surrender at the table. It's hard to get to that place where you say, I'm not worthy to even be close to the table. I don't deserve the love that God gives us. Yet, God has called me to the table. Not to remember, but to surrender to him. Surrender to his will. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And when we're willing to submit to him, that's when everything changes. That's when everything changes. Would you go ahead and stand with me? We here at Dighton practice what we call an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member here at the church to participate in the sacrament. All that we ask is that you who are walking in fellowship with God and you are in love and harmony with your neighbors, that you truly do and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from this time in his holy ways. Draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God. So when we do the elements today, we're going to have a couple ushers in the back. They're going to lead you up the middle. You're going to take your elements. You're going to go off to the side. You're going to hold on to those. The worship team is going to be playing a song. You can sing along with it if you want. And then once they finish that song, we'll come together and do communion together. We'll come together as a church community to a place of surrender at the table. I'm excited, but Jesus is deeply longing to meet us at the table. My excitement has nothing to do with it. I mean, I love that we get to share this moment together as a community. But Jesus is longing to meet us there. That's what should excite us. So I'm going to go ahead and have the ushers go to the back. They're going to start in the back. They're going to work their way forward. We'll get the elements, and then we'll come back together. So at this wild dinner party, Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup of wine and he said, "This is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood." Listen to this last part. "Which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Do this in remembrance of him." Church, we've done nothing to earn the love and grace of our Lord and Savior. All that we did was that we were wretched and we were sin-filled. Yet Christ went to the cross for us. His body was broken. His blood was poured so that we could be free. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you so much. And it doesn't even seem like that's enough just to say thank you. How can we even say thank you for inviting us to the table? We didn't earn this. We don't deserve this. We've done nothing yet be wretched and sin-filled. Yet you deeply long and desire for us to meet with you. It's all about you, Jesus. That's it. Nothing we've done, nothing we deserve. It is about you and what you've done on the cross for us. How do you even pray for that? How do we glorify you more, Lord, than what you've done for us? I don't know the answer to that, Lord. But like Devin said earlier, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure that out. I'm going to spend the rest of my life knowing I don't deserve a seat at the table, yet freely accepting your grace and your truth and your love, Lord. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Remember in verse 16, he said, "I will not eat of this meal until it is fulfilled." The second Exodus is coming. The Lord will return. But until that day, we will praise his name because he invites us to the table. Be blessed this week. I love you, and we'll see you next weekend.